I'd like to start and say thank you to the Glogara family for sponsoring today's Limud, the Lenishmas, their mother, Leah Sholem, Prince Abbas, Yisachar Doiv, and Esther Etel. And Baruch Hashem, we've been able to partner with the Glogara family. This is the third time we're partnering with them for Limud HaTorah in such a beautiful situation. And actually, Gary is going to say a few words about his mother. Before we do that, I just want to say a few thank yous. My first thank you is to Rabbi Blate, as usual, for putting this program together. It was his idea, it was his initiative, and it was his pressure to make me do this. Thank you. The beautiful packet that you see in front of you is the creation of the loving work of Rabbi Jacob Goodman. Something which we did this time different than other times, we added a second packet because we had so much to put in, and he had the extra work of putting a second packet together also. I know I left here last night after 1 o'clock in the morning and he was still here, so I don't know what time he left, but it was early in the morning, shall we say. Okay. The Karlal is part of the yeshiva. The Karlal functions as a semi-autonomous division of the yeshiva, and that's why we do these projects, opportunity to reach out to the community. It's part of the mandate of the Karlal. I do want to point out that the Karlal is funded independently from the yeshiva, and that's my responsibility. So these sponsorships are very significant for the income for the Karlal. Any opportunity a person would like to sponsor, we have many different events over the year. If a person is interested, please see me. I will give you different opportunities to be involved and partner with the Karlal in many different ways. That being said, Beis Hashem, the federal holiday program of Thanksgiving is coming up. Rabbi Frank will be giving a shiur, and the topic is nothing but the truth, and exploring the parameters of emes and sheker. The Karlal being a division of the yeshiva, obviously we look back and we recognize that the yeshiva is here. This was the brainchild of Rabbi Einar Mitzvah Livracha, and the Balabatim who stood behind him, and they created the yeshiva high school. Eventually it moved on to the yeshiva gedola. The community itself is Rabbi Einar's vision and creation, which has created it. I personally obviously have a relationship with the Rabbi Einar for many years. My wife is a Talmid of Rabbi Einar, and we have a tremendous Akarsatai of looking back to Rabbi Einar Zichrono Livracha, what he developed over here. Rabbi Lipiansky, the Rosh Hashiva, has created an atmosphere of learning of Torah here in the community, which is beautiful. It's beautiful, the interface between the community and the yeshiva. And we have turned us across the tribe to Rabbi Lipiansky for allowing us to be the host to the Karlal. Ray Merkin works tirelessly to make sure that the yeshiva functions, etc., and we have turned us across the tribe to that. One last point I do want to mention while I'm doing my public service announcements is that the yeshiva dinner is coming up December 16th, and they are honoring Mrs. Ryan and her husband by that dinner. So please attend if you could. It's a big tremendous kavod to me that they've been mechaved my wife, and I have to go along for the ride as well. At this point, I would like to ask Mr. Gary Glogower to say a few words about his mother, and then we'll have the shiur.
On behalf of the Glogower family, I would like to thank everyone for participating in this Yom Iyun, which is dedicated in memory of our beloved mother, Sprinza Basel Rav Yisachar Dov, V'Yester Yitol Zichron Levracha. Special thanks to my brother Fred for spearheading our involvement today, and to my brother Rod, who led one of the Chaburos. Thanks to the Rabbanim for the preparation of today's learning materials, and to all of the Rabbanim who are the Chaburos who are participating. Mom was a humble, soft-spoken woman whose perfection of character was reflected in the purity of her speech. She never spoke Lashon Hara, rarely displayed anger, and was never condescending in her remarks to other people. Rather, Mom's social interactions were always tempered with the utmost regard for the other person's dignity. Mom's Sefer Panim Yafot, friendly and cheerful countenance, was always on display in these interactions. Mom enjoyed the simple pleasures of life. She liked to read, walk, cook, bake, play the piano, and tend the garden. She devoted her life selflessly to raising her family with great love and kindness in accordance with the letter of the Torah law and its objective. At age 94, Mom was still fasting on the Taniyot, still saying Moda Ani every morning and Kriya Shema every night. May we continue to be influenced by Mom's Midos Tovos and Seichel HaYashar. Two psukim in the Torah in particular define the relationship of a child to a parent. Kabbalah Zavicha Vesemecha, Lamanya Richa Yamecha, Hamasher, Shamal Kechna, Saint Loch. And secondly, Ishimo Viavi Tiro, Viashab Sosai Tishmor, Ania Shamal Kecha. With regards to the mitzvah of fearing one's parents, the fear of the mother is placed before the fear of the father. Conversely, with regards to the mitzvah of honoring one's parents, the honor of one's father is placed before the honor of one's mother. Rashi explains this word order reversal. With regards to the mitzvah of fearing one's parents, the mother is mentioned prior to the father in a pasuk to counter one's natural inclination to fear the father more than the mother. On the other hand, with regards to the mitzvah of honoring one's parents, the father is mentioned prior to the mother in a pasuk to counter one's natural inclination to honor the mother more than a father. One's relationship with his parents involves psychological forces so powerful that they play a critical role in the very formation of his personality. Nevertheless, these psukim teach us that Avodas Hashem demands that we subordinate these powerful forces to our Tzelem Elokim. Conforming the psychological dispositions one naturally has towards his parents, vis-a-vis kibud and yira, to the halachic kibud and yira, thus brings a major underlying component of one's personality into line with the ultimate reality. As a result, one merits arichos yamim, which can be viewed in a qualitative sense as well as a quantitative one. In his state of compliance with halacha, kibud, and yira, man thereby lives on a higher plane, leading to a different and better life. Mom was so beloved by the family that it is easy to honor her. Fearing her, however, may have been a more emotionally challenging task, as she was so kind-hearted and sweet. Nevertheless, we are commanded, Ishimo v'yaviv tirau. May today's Yom Iyun play a role in further objectifying our relationships with our parents in accordance with Torah law.
Thank you, Gary. Beautiful. Actually, the introduction to the shiur, the thought process how we got to the shiur was discussing with Fred something about his mother. Maybe we can find some topic which would address that. He says his mother always was a person who would forgo her rights to kovin. So he said that's an interesting topic. Let's focus on that. And then it expanded eventually to the general topic of kibud av v'aim. So we decided to discuss the whole topic instead of specifically the issue of mechila, which had actually been the original thought process. Okay. So the topic today is kibud av v'aim is a ben adam l'malchum, a ben adam l'chaveiro. So let's explain the question. I'm not sure everybody understands the question. We have two. There's 613 mitzvahs. Every one of these mitzvahs is commanded by Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a command which we must fulfill because Hashem says so. Whether they are interface between man to man or between man and God, all of them are mitzvahs which are between us and our Creator. Any mitzvah which a person doesn't do, he has to answer to his Creator and say, "Why didn't you do this? I have to do tshuva if I've done something wrong." The question of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro is above and beyond the chiv to our Creator. There is another responsibility to another individual. So when I come to the mitzvah kibud av v'aim, it says, is the root of this specifically a mitzvah between me and my Creator? Hashem says, I must honor my parents. That's between me and my Creator. I have a responsibility to act a certain way to this individual. Or that the parent has some type of a right or a claim upon me. Above and beyond that, there's an expectation of responsibility to the parent of giving that parent kovod. So above and beyond the ben adam l'malkum, there's also ben adam l'chaveiro. There's some responsibility vis-a-vis the parent. So if you notice that when we read Solomon Chinuch, which is the he presents the question. My side note on page 4 was, does the parent own the right to covet? In other words, is this something which is actually a chayv, an actual claim that the parent has on the child? And that's the question. If you got to the Tameiah mitzvahs, if you turn to page 24 for a second, so the Chai Odom takes this to the furthest extent. The Chai Odom says, the chol mitzvah haben alav ve'aim hu piroyon chayv sheben chayv lifrei alav ve'limay hatayv shegemaluhu. It's an actual payment of a debt that a child has to a parent. The parent, in some way, benefited the child. He brought the child into this world. He took care of the child. The child has a responsibility to give back to the parents. And mishenu makabdom nikra rasha. A person who does not pay back by giving kavod is called a rasha. The pasuk says a person who borrows and has a debt and doesn't repay his debt is considered a rasha. So the Chayadim understands that this is an actual debt that a child has to the parent. He actually owes the parent something. He must give that to the parent. If he doesn't, he is not fulfilling his debt that he has to the parent. So it's an actual chayv, an actual debt that the child has to the parent, which a child must pay. Then he says, what is this debt? What do you owe them? Well, they gave you, whatever they gave you, you have to give back to them. They gave you care, you give them care. They gave you love, you give them love. And that's how he extends the concept. But so the Chayyotim understands that mitzvah kibud av v'aim is an actual claim that a parent has on a child, and when the child does not fulfill that, they actually owe something to the parent, which they have not paid. That's one end of the spectrum. So that's, I think, is the and he bases himself on the language of the Yerushalmi, which is on page 21, and the Medrash Tanchum on page 22, where the language of the Chazal is piroyin chayv. It's a debt that you owe. So he understands that this is not a poetic language. This is an actual debt that a person owes to a parent. So therefore, the Michlas Chinuch says, I didn't insult them anyway. I was very nice to them. I didn't hurt them anyway. I just did not give them the halachic mandate of kavodam that I have to give to the parent. Must I ask them for forgiveness? Well, if I owe them something and I didn't pay, I have to ask for forgiveness. If I don't owe them anything, it's an obligation between me and my Creator. I have to relate to my parents in a certain way, which I didn't do, so I have to do tshuva. But I didn't hurt my parents in any way. I didn't insult them. I wasn't mavaz at them. I just didn't give them that extra oomph that a parent's supposed to get. Okay, that's I'm wrong, but it's nothing to do with the parents. It's not the parent is, as it were, almost the object of the interface. That's one way to look at it. Or no, I actually owe the parent, and I would have to ask if I didn't give, I would have to ask forgiveness from my parents for not giving them that which they deserve. That's how the Michlas Chinuch presents the question. Okay, so as you went through the packet, you were presented with the various different sources back and forth on this issue. The first example, page 5, Rabbi Yosef stands up and he hears the footsteps of his mother. Did he see his mother? Was the mother in sight? So if the mother's in sight, that's an interface between him and his parents, and he owes her something. He has to give her covet. He's giving it to her. If he doesn't see her, and he's responding to her presence, even though she is not aware of it, so it's not an interface between man and man. It's our responsibility, because the Kaddish Baruch Hu wants me to have a certain attitude towards my parents, to have that attitude. So my mother calls me on the phone, and should I stand up when I'm talking to her? Can I sit and slouch in my seat while talking to my mother on the phone? She doesn't see me. She doesn't know whether I'm standing or not. We don't have FaceTime. We're not Skyping. She doesn't see how I'm relating to her. But maybe I need to have a certain attitude towards my mother, which is it's incumbent upon me to... You don't sit... There's a story of the Redis and Steif, that when he would talk to Moshe on the phone, he would stand up. One time his daughter walked in and saw her father standing up when he got on the phone. And she says, why'd you stand up? He says, Moshe Feinstein's talking to me, I should sit. Well, maybe you should say that about your parents also. Your mother's talking to you, you should sit. Now I'm not giving her anything, she's not receiving anything from me. It's a question of how do I relate to my parents. So Rabbi Yosef stood up when he heard the mother's footsteps. It was the scenario that he saw her now. So if you look at page 10, the Gideon Rasha, that's Rosh Hashanah Eger, connects this to a halacha in Hilchos Sefer Torah. So there's a halacha in Hilchos Sefer Torah. You have a Sefer Torah which has, they have the keser of the Sefer Torah, it has bells on it, and you hear the bells ringing, even though, it means the Sefer Torah is moving, you don't see the Sefer Torah yet. It's a large shul, it's around the bend, they're moving the Sefer Torah from one room to the next. Do you have a chiyuv to stand up? So the Ramah says in Hilchos Sefer Torah, you have a chiyuv to stand up. You don't see the Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah doesn't see you, but you have a chiyuv to give kavod to the Sefer Torah because you hear the Sefer Torah coming. What's the source? The story of Rabbi Yosef and his mother. So it means the Gideon Rasha is saying over here that the Ramah's understanding of the story was that there was no sight between the two of them. The mother did not see him. Rabbi Yosef did not see his mother, but he heard her footsteps. So my father rolls into the driveway, parks the car, and I know he's here. I hear the car here. I know the sound of his car. It makes a certain putter, putter, putter. It's my father's car. It has a voice signature of my father's car. He's here. According to this room, why should stand up? My father's here, and he's walking. As long as he's in his place, there's no key to stand. As soon as he gets out of the car, I hear the door slam. I should stand up. She's not in that now. That's not an interface between me and my parents. But it's a question of attitude towards my parents, not ben adam l'chavero, but ben adam l'mokum. Okay. That's what it seems.
Rabbi Kiva Eger takes us even a step further in the case by a summa.
We'll get to summa maybe. Yeah. Now, so that would seem to indicate it's an obligation. It's incumbent upon me to have a certain attitude towards my parents, irregardless of whether I'm giving something to my parent. They're not receiving anything from me in that situation, but I am giving a certain attitude. Fine. We have a law of kibbut lachar moisa. Right? So, what are you giving to a parent after they pass away? They're not here anymore. So if it's incumbent upon me, I have to have a certain attitude towards my parents. I have to relate to them in a certain way. So I'm giving cover to my parents. I'm saying a certain language. I come to a, or another example, the more it says, I come to a city and I make a request. My parents in city A, I go to city B, and I know the city B that they think my parent is very special. They say, you know what, do me a favor, because I'm so-and-so's child. Oh, my parents doesn't get anything out of that. I'm not giving them anything by doing that. But I've created an element in my attitude that I'm asking because my parent deserves it. I'm my parent's child. That's how I relate to myself. So it seems to indicate again that this is between me and my creator, a certain responsibility, how to interface and look at my parents, regardless of whether the parents are receiving something from me or not. Okay, then the more presents a question, who pays for this? Now we know the rule is, when it comes to mitzvah say, the rule is that a person has some level of cost where he's considered an oinus and he's potter. I need to buy tefillin. I'm in a place where there's no tefillin available. I can't borrow tefillin. I need to buy tefillin. And tefillin are only available where I live, somewhere in Alaska. It's going to cost me a large amount of money to get them. And I don't have so much money. So the law is, if it's going to cost more than a fifth of my property, of my assets, I'm not mechuyev to buy tefillin. But till then, I'm mechuyev to pay. If I can get tefillin, could cost me $2,000 to get it, and I have $10,000, that's 20%. I have to pay for the tefillin. Cost $3,000, I'm potter. More than a chaymish, I'm potter. But till a chaymish, I'm a chayiv to pay. The more it says, well, what about kibbut aveim? Who pays for it? Well, why don't we use the regular rule? It's a mitzvah say, regular rule, one-fifth. Do you find a mitzvah say where the loch is that you don't have to pay? So, for example, Hashavas Aveda, the rule is you don't have to pay. I have a chiyuv to do the tirch. I find an aveda. I have a chiyuv to do the effort that's necessary to take the aveda from point A to point B. The more says, let's say it's an animal. I have to feed the animal. I deliver the animal with a bill for all of the food that I fed him. The more says, as a matter of fact, that I think it's going to cost a lot of money, don't return it, because all you're doing is giving him a loss. If it's an animal which works, so then I say, you know what? I'll have the animal work. I'm using somebody else's animal. Well, yeah, but let the work offset the cost, and therefore I won't charge him with a bill. But I have a right to charge him a bill. It's a mitzvah say. What happened to one-fifth? There's no rule of one-fifth by Hashavas Aveda. Why? Because the root of mitzvah Hashavas Aveda is a bit out of the chavera. So my responsibility to me and my creator requires I spend a fifth. Between me and another man, I have responsibility to take care of your money. But I don't have to lay out money for you. So I have to do the tircha of returning your aveda. I have to go through the tircha of taking care of the animal, etc. That's personal tircha. But to actually lay out money for you, it's your money. I have to take care of your money, but I don't have to lay out money for you. So I don't have to lay out money. So the more says the shayla mishalav and mishal ben, and the more comes out mishalav, would seem to indicate that this mitzvah is about adam lechaveiroi. So I have to take care of my parents' needs, etc. But I don't have to lay out money for that. Okay, so we have two directions. The more it continues and says, what about mechila? So the parent says, I'm moichel. That's beautiful, but I am a chiv to have an attitude towards my parents. Personally, I don't mind if you don't stand up for me. I don't mind this. Don't bring me breakfast. Says that's very nice. I have a chiv. And the parent says, I don't want it. It bothers me. I don't like breakfast in bed. You know, it messes up the bed and it makes the comments in the house. Okay, fine, I understand. Parents says, I don't mind. Just, I'm Michael. You don't have to do it for me. I'm Michael. What do you mean you're Michael? I have a chiyuv to have a certain attitude towards my parent, which the Chazal understood means I have a chiyuv to give them food. So very nice the parent is Michael, but that's nothing to do with the parents. The parent is just the vehicle for me to have a certain expression of my respect. Or no, it's an interface between me and my parents. I have certain responsibilities to my parents. The parent is Michael, the responsibility, so I'm Potter. The more it says Mechila works. Now you could argue that maybe that's not the right way of saying it. That really it's to give it to me, my creator, as long as the parent wants. So the more then ask the question, what about by a Rebbe? So do you have a chiyuv to, can a Rebbe be Meichel? Can a Rav be Meichel? Well, what's the difference between a parent and a Rav? And that, if that's the argument, why should a Rav be able to be Meichel also? If you understand that a parent is an obligation between me and the parent, but whereas a Rav is a chiyuv of giving cover to the Torah, so how can the Rav be Meichel? It's a chiyuv to give cover to the Torah. That's the worst question. I understand. But if either way, it's ben adam lamakom, so what's the difference? We indicate again that we're looking at something which is really ben adam l'chaveiro. Okay, so we have one Gemara which seems to indicate very clearly it's a ben adam lamakom. It's a comment upon you that have a certain attitude towards your parents no matter what. We have two Gemaras which seem to indicate it's ben adam l'chaveiro. The parent can be moichel. You're not mechid lay out money for that purpose. Now there's a famous story with Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim Brisker was in the city of Brisk. That was called Reb Chaim Brisker, right? And a person, parents from Warsaw asked the child to come to Warsaw to take care of some help, something that the child needed. The parent says, I can't afford to send you a ticket. So the child went to Reb Chaim Brisker and he said, we paskin, me shall have. I'm not going to lay out money for the ticket to go to my parents, right? Because we paskin, me shall have, not me shall bet. He says, you're 100% right. Walk. So we're not saying that you don't have to give the kavod still, but you're not going to lay out money for that purpose. So if it's appropriate that you should go and give them the kavod, go and give them the kavod. Now you want to, it's easier for you to go by train than by walking. Okay, so you're laying out your own money. That's for you, not for the parents. The word is discussing laying out the cost of the food. You have a chiyuv to be Michael, who pays for the food? You have a chiyuv to be Mashka, who pays for the food? You have a chiyuv to be Malbish, who pays for the clothing? Now, I'm not going to lay out money for the parents' clothing. Even though I have a chiyuv to be malbish them. So that's really, maybe that limits what we're saying a little bit. We can talk about that. Okay. So if you look at the Tamei HaMitzvahs, and we discussed yesterday in Shomrei for those who were there, how much we can use the idea of a reason behind the mitzvah to explain the mitzvah, the halachic ramifications of a mitzvah. And this is really a question in the Gemara, whether you can use the Tamei HaMitzvahs to explain the halachic ramifications of a mitzvah. Rav Shimon says you can be Dorish time of the Kroy. He says he understands the time of a mitzvah, and the reason behind the mitzvah can actually create halachic parameters. But we mentioned yesterday that the Rosh says there are certain cases where if it's clear and obvious that this is the reasoning behind it, even the Chachamim agree that you can do that. For example, the Gemara has a question. There's a law that says in the Torah, do not muzzle an ox while it is threshing. So the animal is threshing. I mean, how do you have these stalks with the kernels attached to them? You have to break the kernels off of the stalk. It's a lot of work. So no problem. You get your big ox. He goes in there. He tramples on it. He breaks the kernels off of the stalks, and then you winnow it and you get rid of the chaff, etc. It's a nice system. Well, one downside, of course, is this: your animal is looking and saying, "Wow, kernels," and he's enjoying himself. So I want to muzzle my ox. He shouldn't eat while he's threshing. So the Torah says, "Lo sachem sorbedishar." It's one of the tariag mitzvahs. Person gets malchus for being over the iser of muzzling his ox. So Moore has a question: what about a scenario where this food will hurt the animal? The animal will react to it. With Moore's cases, it'll give the animal diarrhea. So I want to muzzle the ox for the animal's benefit, not for its. The purpose is, so the Moor is assuming the purpose of feeding the animal is because it's beneficial for the animal, let it eat. So here it's detrimental to the animal. So am I allowed to muzzle it or not? That's the Moor's question. So Rosh says, 1 second. The Torah says, well, Sasha Doradisha, end the conversation. According to Shimon, who's Dorish Time of the Crow, guy, very nice. But what about according to the Rabbanim? She says, no. Oh, here it's so obvious that this is the reason behind the mitzvah, that even the Chachamim agree that the logic behind the mitzvah can create parameters in halacha. Okay, so let's assume that for a second that we can do that. Even though it's not delineated in the Torah, the reason behind the mitzvah, if it's obvious to us what the reason is, we are allowed to create halakhic parameters. So, looking at page 21, we mentioned already that the Yerushalmi says, looks at Kibbutz Av Eim as a Prius Koi. So, Omer Rabbi Avun, Ma'im Dabrashu Kapriyas Chayiv, Kasas Bar Laman Yitav Lach Laman Yerichun Yamecha. Even something which is all it is paying back a debt, the Torah says if you do it, you're going to get long life and you're going to get goodness. Even though, obviously, it's something which is incumbent upon you, it's a Chayiv. And on the next page of 22, the same language in the Medrash Tanchuma, it looks at Kibbutz Av Eim as a Prius Chayiv. The Torah doesn't say what it is. We're going to inject into the mitzvah this concept that the root of the mitzvah is priyas chayv. We mentioned already the Chayyadim says this is, he sees this as not just a language of, it's not a poetic language, it's not, this is actual halachic mandate. The Sefer HaChinuch on page 23 sees the mitzvah a little bit differently. He says it's to teach us the mitzvah of Hakaras HaTov. Obviously the Hakaras HaTov is the foundation of interface with the parent. I have gratitude to the parent. The parent did some, brought me to this world. The parent took care of me. I have a mitzvah of gratitude. He says, well, once you do that, you develop in yourself a mitzvah, this idea of a Hakaras HaTov, which would be seemingly Ben Adam L'Chaverah possibly. He says, well, then you learn to do that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. So maybe he's taking this idea of priyas chayv, of giving back to the parent, because the parent gave you so much, and having Hakaras HaTov, and saying it's not just Ben Adam L'Chaverah, but this is now the foundation which will teach me to have a Hakaras HaTov to our Creator as well. So maybe he's moving it from Ben Adam L'Chaverah to Ben Adam L'Malkum. And then if you look at the Ramban, page 25, and the Tur on page 26, so let's start with page 26. So the Tur quotes the Ramban. The Ramban, in his Pirush and Chumash, explains the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim, and he points out that we know that there are Aseres HaDibros, there's five on one Luach, and five on the second Luach. The five on the first Luach are Ben Adam L'Malkum. The five on the second Luach are Ben Adam L'Chaveroi. So Sirtzach, L'Sinov, L'Sikdoiv. Those are interface between man and another man. Kibud Av V'Aim is in the first luach. So the Kasar Rabban Aseres HaDibros Chamisha L'Kvod Habar Yisbarach Chamisha L'Tayves Ha'Adam. So five are to give kavod to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and five are for benefit for man. Ki kavod es avicha kvod akel. Kavod avicha is giving kavod to Hashem. That's how the Torah understands the Ramban, that the root of the mitzvah is not because I owe the parent something, it's because it teaches me to have respect for my Creator. The reason why we have a mitzvah to be mechabed our parent, because it's covered for Hashem. Because a parent is partial Creator, so you learn to respect your parent who is a Creator. So he's the one who helped create us, so we will have respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. Then it says, and then the five are left for the Chamishal Adam, etc. So he talks about that point. So he understands the Ramban. Now, if you look at the language of the Ramban on page 25, it's not so clear that that's what he means. That's how the Torah understands the Ramban. If you look at the language of the Ramban on page 25, he says, we already finished the first four. Anoichi, Layilacha, Loisisa, Zohar, Zem HaShabbos, those four are L'Kvod HaBorei. V'chaz L'tzavos Oysan HaBinyanei HaNivroim. Now he's going to talk about interfacing with man. Not so clear. V'hiskol min ha'av v'shulot ha'dosav ke'inyan HaBorei. But a parent is like a creator. So that's not clear that the Ramban means the way the Torah quotes him. But that's how the Torah understands the Ramban, that this is clearly, the focus is more the Ben Adam L'Malkum element than the Ben Adam L'Chaverei. The last reason given on the Rishonim is a fascinating idea. Is on page 27 and 28 and 29. This is the idea that the Ikrim says. The Ikrim was a sefer written by Rabbi Yosef Albo, was one of the Rishonim in Spain. And he, basically it's a philosophical work understanding the what he calls the Ikrim, the Ikrim Amunah, the foundations of our Amunah, the primary elements of our Amunah. The Rambam has six, has 13. He only has three. And he has a discussion about what those three are, etc. That's not for today's shir. But while he's doing that, he discusses many of the mitzvahs, and he says that the purpose of the mitzvah of Kabbalah is Yechav Esimech, I'm not going to read it inside, is because how do we know Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim? How do we know that he did these miracles for us? How do we know that we have a relationship with him? Who told us? Our parents did. Well, there's a nature of people that when we respect something, we listen to them. When we don't respect, we don't listen. In order that we should have a valid transmission of Torah from generation to generation, we need to respect our parents. Therefore, we will listen to them and we will believe what they're saying and we will have a valid transmission. The Masorah stands or falls on the respect that we have for our parents. When you have respect, it's possible to have a Masorah from generation to generation. Without that respect, there's not going to be any transmission. And we see the breakdown of respect, you lose the transmission. And the Rehersh understands that as well. I'll just read the Rehersh's language. But the knowledge, on page 28, an acknowledgement of historical facts depends solely on tradition, and tradition depends solely on the faithful transmission by parents to children, and on the willing acceptance by children from the hands of their parents. So that the continuance of God's whole great institution of Judaism rests entirely on the theoretical and practical obedience of children to parents. The Kibbutz of Eim is the basic condition for the eternal existence of the Jewish nation. Through the father and mother, God gives the child not only physical existence, etc., etc., your beautiful German sentences, but also the Jewish mission of knowledge, morals, and education. So the root of Kibbutz of Eim is transmission. That's not a bit on the chaveira. The parent can't forgo that right, because it's not about the parents. We need you, child, to respect your parent, and therefore you will listen to what they say. The parent's going to be too soft and say, whatever, whatever, and we're going to learn to not respect our parents, we're going to lose the transmission. So how can a parent be moichel? Okay. So going back, so can the parent be moichel? So the question, let's go back to that for a second. Page 13. So the Shulchan Aruch says also in Sif Yutes up on the top, it's shaded out. Also, the Adam lahakbid uloy al bonav ladati b'chvari mehem. Do not overpressure a child in giving you respect. Shall yivim l'day mikshol, because they're not going to keep it, and they're going to end up you causing them to do an avera. With the yivim l'sitin mikshol, don't overburden your children. Elam yimchol. You should be moichel, v'yalam ein of me'am, and you know, don't look, don't notice, forgo your rights. Shav shemochel, kavod, kavod mochel. Parent can be moichel, is covered, like the Gemara says. Comes with Kivager. Kivager quotes a Shuvah's Radvaz, that the hod of shemochel, kavod is mochel, hanalinyin the ein ben menash, im ein mechavdo. The child does not get punished if he doesn't give covered. But the mitzvah of kibbutz is still there. If he does kibbutz, he still gets the mitzvah of kibbutz. It's not totally removed. And the Piskei Tshuva has a similar language of that. Now, what does that mean? That means that you must give your parents kibbutz even after the mechila. You're just not punished if you don't. Or it means that if you want to, you could. If you don't want to, you don't have to. Is it a rishus or is it a chiyuv? Does the mechila take away the chiyuv? Or does the mechila take away the onish? So it takes away the chiyuv, so we're back to, well, how do you get rid of this chiyuv if the root of this chiyuv is transmission? Like the Ikrim says. How do you get rid of this chiyuv if this chiyuv is piroin chayv? Yeah, makes sense. He's moichel. If the chiyuv is covered the abare, so what do you mean you're moichel? How do you get rid of the chiyuv? So maybe the rabbah says you can't get rid of the chiyuv. But you know what? The oynish is removed. The language of the Ravaz, if you looked at the language of the Ravaz, he brings the question. So if you look on page 14, Niftar ben min oynish im loy mekibet avlakati mitzvah ika. Now that sounds like it's a chiyuv. And if you look at the quotes, the bracket of the second, page 15, the second shaded area, he says, quotes a Rama, all it does is takes away the punishment. Now it sounds like the chiyuv is still there. So that would fit with what we're saying, that you can't get rid of this mitzvah totally. You must have this mitzvah. Now the question is, so how do you get rid of the oynish without having a chiyuv? You have a chiyuv but no oynish. What do the words mean? I'm not sure how to answer that. It's a hard question. This question might be totally in this question whether it's better on the law or better on the chaver. But we seem to be that he's understanding that this is, you can't get rid of it totally because we need to have you give kavod to your parents. Okay, one of the questions I promise you we'll talk about is very relevant. Most of the people in this room are coming from the parental side of it. Some of you are coming from the child side of it. Your parent says, I do not want you taking the bus at nighttime. Anything after 6 o'clock is dangerous, especially in these neighborhoods. And it's dangerous, I don't want you taking the bus. Now your parent lives in a different city. You take the bus, yes, no, and they hit it. It doesn't know whether you're taking the bus or not. He goes there to show and says, don't take the bus. There's Arabs on the bus and I'm scared. Everybody uses the bus in Eretz Yisrael. Come on. So I won't tell my parent what I'm doing and I'll take the bus anyway. Am I allowed to do that? So it's a benadol lamalkum. I have a chiyuv to give my parents respect. What do you mean? How can I go against the words of my parents? Now, there might be a chiyuv of marva, which tells me I must listen to my parents anyway. So that's also a possibility. But that's a different shear than to face between marva and kavod. I'm not saying alach lamais over here. I'm not saying alach lamais, right? But there's, if it's a question of interface between me and my parents, I have to give them something. There's no interface over here. If it's a benadol lamalkum, I have a chiyuv to have a certain attitude towards my parents. So what do you mean you're going to get your parents' wishes? Because they don't know about it. Like, you know, that's, you know, it's like God doesn't see. What does that mean? So whether it's benadol lamalkum or benadol lamairu might make a difference in that regards to that question. Our time is limited. I want to share with you an interesting thought, which I saw in the Sefer Chavetz Chaim. It's not in the packet. It's an additional packet. If you look actually in the additional packet, those of you who have the time to take it home, please, there's extra ones that you want to have a nice challenge to work on, and we can print more if you want. It seems very clear this is Machlokes Rishonim. This is Machlokes Rishonim. The more it discusses in the context of Kibbutz, of Esed HaGalos HaSeh, the rule is an essay which has to do with mitzvah purpose, with financial issues. Hashavas Aveid is not Doich HaLos HaSeh. We know that the rule is an essay can override a los essay, but not an essay of benon lechaverah. One essay of benon lechaverah, the kohen can't go into the base of chorus and return the aveda. The more says why? Because Hashem's aveda is moment, and base of chorus is iser, and a moment can't override iser. There's a machlokes b'shanim whether kibbutz aveim is called moment or iser. So it seems to be very clear in the Ramban over there says that the kibbutz of aim is called, he calls it Isser, and you would say it's a halos essay. The Shikin Vetzis brings an opinion from the Gideon Toysis that it's called Mammon, it would not, there's no essay of halos essay. And that's quite a discussion over there in the Rishonim already. The Chavetz Chaim has an interesting suggestion. How many times were we commanded in the midst of kibbutz of aim? So it comes up to how many times in the Torah? It's explicit in the Torah twice. In the Sarasa Dibris, the first time in Parshas Yisrael, the second time in Parshas Veskana. But in the second time it says, Kashisivcha Hashem Elokecha. Kabirazavicha Zimecha, Kashisivcha Hashem Elokecha. Like Hashem commanded you. What's that referring to? So Rashi says it's referring to the fact that they got the mitzvah of Kibbutz of Aim in Mora. Kaiso received the mitzvah of Kibbutz of Aim twice. Once in Mora, before Hashem gave the Torah, and a second time by Har Sinai. Where do you know that it's referring to kibbutz of aim by Mora? The pasuk says kisham sam loy chayku mishpat v'sham niso. There Hashem established for us chayk and mishpat, and there Hashem tested us. What's the chayk and what's the mishpat? Chayk, according to one pshat, is referring to paraduma. No bigger chayk than that. Chayk was given paraduma in Mora, and what's the mishpat? Kibbutz of aim. Well, mishpat means. It's an obligation. Mishpat means it's something which it's expected. It's a seichel concept. It's a mishpat. It's something which I owe you. That is what we got by Mora. So what do we get by Har Sinai? Maybe what we got by Har Sinai is the second level of Benadol Lamalkum as well. So it could be both elements are true. There's a Benadol Lachavera element to it, and also Benadol Lamalkum. Now, practically, that what it means, we could extend it, maybe that applies to a non-Jew as well. The Netziva assumes that Kibbutz of Aim applies to non-Jews as well, because it's Benadol Lachavera. Benadol Lachavera applies to non-Jews. You can't steal. I owe you something. I can't steal from my parents. I owe them something. So it applies to non-Jews as well, according to the Netziv assumes that. In his Haskama to the Sefer Avos Chesed from the Chofetz Chaim, he writes this, the Netziv wrote a Haskama. He says, he throws this out, he says, Kibbutz of Aim applies to non-Jews as well. So that is true, but if there's also Benadol Lamalkum, you still can't be Moichel. You can be Moichel one element of it, one aspect of it. So maybe what you've been moichel is the aspect of Benadol Lachavera, so there's no einish on that end. That's what the Radvaz might mean. But you can't be moichel totally, because there's still the Benadol Lamalkum, the Chiyah B'dei Shemayim, which is the language of the Ber Yehuda. The Chiyah B'dei Shemayim is responsible to me and my Creator. I have to be mechaber my parent, and that you can never forego. So this is not a halacha shiurim. We're not trying to give you a final decision. We're just trying to expand your horizons and understand this mitzvah of kibbutz of aim is a tremendously difficult mitzvah to understand, to fulfill, if you haven't figured that by now, to fulfill it also. We should all have our parents be moichel us, because otherwise we're going to be in danger. But if you can, we're going to try and do as best as we can. But this mitzvah is a tremendously foundational mitzvah in Hakaras HaToiv, which is, the Rabban says, that's the foundation of the whole Torah, is Hakaras HaToiv. It teaches us how to give respect to our Creator. It is foundational to the transmission of the Torah from generation to generation. And it is also something which is an expression of the basic decency of what it means to have an obligation from one individual from the other individual. At this point in time, I'm going to ask the Shiva to share a few words.